everybody. Welcome to episode 434 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Superman Sunday episode. I'm going to be talking about Action Comics 1001, written by Brian Michael Bendis, art by Patrick Gleason, colors by Alejandro Sanchez, with letters by Josh Reed. So continuing the Brian Michael Bendis era of Superman, this is the first issue of Action Comics that's solely his own. And I don't know if I've mentioned the fact that Bendis is getting to do recap pages. Dan Didio's gone on record before as saying that he thinks good writing doesn't need recap pages. You know, in the Marvel books, if you look inside the front cover, there's usually a paragraph, two or three, to catch new readers up. I don't know if DC doesn't want to lose the ad space, but they're actually doing like a recap page kind of within the story. So it's been interesting so far. And they did one for Superman issue one. They've done one for Action Comics 1001. It'll be interesting to see if they continue to do them going forward, or if this is just catching people up from what happened in the Man of Steel miniseries. So the recap page here, and again, it's cool that they're kind of incorporating into the story. It's Clark Kent's desk. I'm assuming it's Clark Kent's desk, which is quite cluttered and messy, but it's kind of cool because there's a Dial H for Hero dialer. There's an Orca figure from He-Man. There's a little Hot Wheels Lamborghini, various flash drives, camera, headphones, different telephoto lenses, a mouse, what looks to be a cell phone charging, and a laptop. And we get the recap, right? From the point of, hey, rocketed to Earth as an infant, and then recently talking about the apartment fires and Deputy Chief Melody Moore, who we met in the Man of Steel series. And then we flip over to what's happening at the Daily Planet, with Lois Lane seemingly having disappeared and the planet maybe being sold. And talking about how Clark Superman doesn't have a way to contact his family because of the recent battle with Rogal Zar, where he lost the communicator. So from there, we go to a rooftop in Metropolis. It's a great scene, a little bit reminiscent of the Superman Returns movie with Brandon Routh, where it was on a rooftop and they had like this Gatling gun and they were firing at him, and one bullet even hits his eye and like bounces off. So there's a helicopter in the background. These two guys are firing guns, and we see Superman like catching all the bullets, and the two crooks that are there have some really good banter. Stop, I'm trying. You're still doing it. I can't stop myself. You're embarrassing me. It's really snappy dialogue. It shows that that's definitely one of Bendis' strength is the scripting. So once Superman captures them, flies after the helicopter, captures the pilot as well, the scene shifts to the Daily Planet, where Clark is turning in his story about the event to Mr. White, and he's telling him to find out where Luther was. And because the heist was happening at a LexCorp building. So, you know, where's Luther? Why were they trying to rob him? Is there more to the story? Don't know. So there's a comment that another one of the reporters makes about people still robbing in Metropolis. One of the other reporters remarks, exactly, this should be the safest place on Earth. Perry says, people steal here too, Ms. Good. They must know that Superman, he could be there at any second. Well, he can't be everywhere, right? So again, I'm enjoying the dynamic of the different reporters and the different supporting cast. I think that that's an important part of Superman. I've talked in the past about the Triangle Era, where we had a new chapter of the Superman story every week, and how that allowed more space, it felt like, for some of these supporting characters to be fleshed out and have a little bit of a spotlight and make for a richer story. I know some people disliked that about the Triangle Era, that they were like, I'm picking up these books to read about Superman, not about Ron Troop or Lucy Lane or Jimmy Olsen or whatever. But I personally enjoyed it. So soon that the dialogue changes, the story changes. Miss Good, who's one of the new reporters that I think we first saw her in DC Nation Zero. How she showed up and there may be more to her than meets the eye, so to speak. We saw her talk. I think it was in one of the Man of Steel issues. About she was talking to somebody about wanting to find out the secret of Lois Lane, something like that. Like where is she? Where'd she go? But anyway, she talks about how the fact that a young man came into the fire station on Adam Street and said that Superman's lighting the fires, and this is the first Clark's hearing of it. So he immediately heads over to the fire station, talks to Deputy Chief Moore, and she's like, "I can't really tell you anything. You're technically a suspect." And he's like, "Listen, I can't have this madness go on 1 second longer, not 1 second." She's like, "Really though? Fires?" And I can't believe that Melody Moore, now granted she's new to Metropolis, but I can't believe she believes that Superman could be behind it. Because I don't know, it seems small for you. It's like, what are you talking about? Metropolis is my home. People are getting hurt. And Deputy Moore is like, "I really don't know what to do here." And he just kind of stands there. Yeah, so we just come back from a 5-alarm blaze on Gardner. Kid comes in and says, and tells a story. So Superman tracks the kid down. Daryl Connors, mother told me where I could find you. You've been telling stories about me. And he's like, uh-oh. So takes Daryl to see Deputy Chief Moore, admits that he lied. Some guy, big bald dude, gave him $300 to come tell you Superman did this. Superman's like, $300? And Connor's like, is that a lot? Should I have gotten more? Just some guy I'd never met before. I was over there. I was watching you guys put out the fire. Guy comes up, says he knew you guys and he'd appreciate the info, but he had to lay low because of some girl or something. So that's the whole story, right? Superman Unleashed. So we don't know why. We don't know the reason. But again, is he now telling the truth or was he telling the truth before? That's where Melody Moore is. And Superman's like, he's telling the truth. Well, how do you know he's telling the truth now? Superman's like, I can tell, actually. Yeah, but you have a vested interest in the truth. You're a teeny bit intimidating. And me, see my problem here? The city inspector is going to be all over this. And Superman's like, and that's exactly why they selected somebody at random to come to you and tell them a story about me. Because now, as Superman, I can't be a part of this investigation by definition without tainting it. But I did speak to his mother. He's a good kid, drama club, good grades, just made a poor choice. So is it worth time in juvie? He's like, I'd spent the money or I'd give it back. So Deputy Moore's like, well, what are you going to do to make it up to us? You want me to like clean stuff up? Superman says, Metropolis Food Bank, volunteer every night after school 1 week. Oh, come on, I have stuff to do after. Or we can do what your mother wanted. Do you want to know what your mother suggested? No. Food bank. Sounds good. Sorry. Superman's like, I know. Bald guy. And then we get a really cool 12 panel page with all these different bald guys who it possibly could be. We got Mr. Freeze, Brainiac, Lex Luthor, Egghead, this guy, I'm not sure, Parasite, what looks to be Dan Didio, another guy who I'm not sure, who's got his like footprint for a face, Hugo Strange, Brian Michael Bendis with an eye patch, and some other three-headed guy, just not sure what's going on. And then Trish, the Gotham columnist, shows up looking over Clark's shoulder saying, is this your dating profile? Are you looking for someone special? Like, can I help you, Trish? I'm sorry I cornered you in Perry's office yesterday. That was not cool of me. It's like, apology accepted. But, and Clark's like, look, respectfully, I'm not getting into my personal business with you. She's like, because it's gossip and it's beneath you? I was going to go with, we don't know each other at all, but sure, yeah, gossip. She's like, man, she left you. Lois Lane left you. It happens all the time, every day. Get out in front of the story. Let's get your story out there. Clark doesn't even dignify it with a response. If you'll excuse me. And Trish just won't let up. You're going to wake up one day, maybe this week, maybe later. Someone at GBS is going to have told the story for you. It'll be too late. Superman's like, Clark Kent's like, this is not news. She says, yes, it is. She left you for Superman. I heard through a very good source she left you for Superman. He's like, I'll see ya. And leaves. So we see Superman flying away. And as he flies away from the planet, we get some word balloons on the page. Sir, I've got him. He is up, up, and out. You sure? Damn sure. Because remember last time? Nope, Big Blue's already past Seattle and heading out to sea. I'm tracking him on Satellite 9. So now that he's out of Metropolis, we see a meeting of villains, I guess you'd say. And they're in what looks to be a very nice house inside a dark lead pipe. So we know Superman can't see through lead. Don't know if his super hearing can penetrate through lead. I would assume not. But it's basically a gathering of villains that manage to exist in Metropolis, which to Miss Good's point earlier has got to be really hard to do, right? Superman always there. So a little bit of a Court of Owls feel, right? With them operating in Metropolis under Batman's nose for so many years. And the mustached man who seems to be in charge is asking which one's lighting the fires. And he's like, us? I thought it was kids. You think it was us, Mr. Strong? So apparently the leader's name is Mr. Strong. He's like, I'll wait. And they're arguing amongst themselves. Who could it have been? And they're just not really sure who it could have been. But what we do find out is that one of the members here is the one that put Daryl Connors up to making Superman a suspect. He says, but by making Superman a suspect, I flipped the entire and – Mr. Strong says, don't say it. Don't say his name. He's like, he ain't here. And the fire does distract him. No. No one thinks Superman started the fires. It's actually suspect of you to point the finger at him. Now they're going to be looking to see who pointed the finger, which is exactly what Superman's been doing. And by the way, this guy is big and bald. So he says, I'm like so many steps ahead of you. Is that what's bothering you, Strong? You think she's hearing about me? And Strong says, oh, I know she heard about you and she has a special message for you. And then we see whoever this big black guy is basically gets immolated by fire. And everyone else is like, what's going on? And yeah, it's like this living fire that basically like goes up his nose and chokes him. And then releases him and he's just dead laying there on the floor. And one of the others says, you're seeing this? And the smoke, the fire, the living fire, whatever, says, you're all seeing it. Like, oh my God, it talks. It's like 100% discretion. The way I've been made to understand it, this organization is only as strong as its weakest link. So don't be that. Don't be the weakest link. And Strong says, well done, Cloud. So the rest of you meet the newest member of the family. You'll know her as the Red Cloud. And another one of them says, what the hell? She says, I am. I'm your new personal hell. So clearly Strong has gotten a new enforcer to impose his will. And the Cloud says, you should have flagged those fires amongst yourselves before it even got to Mr. Strong. Instead, we have to resort to this. And one of the other ones wants to know who gets Yogurt's turf. Apparently the big guy was named Yogurt. So Red Cloud goes on to say that she hopes this little moment has given them inspiration to go back and clean up their own houses a little bit, tighten the screws, pull the curtains, get back to doing what you're so very good at, which is basically running a criminal empire right under Superman's nose. He doesn't even know that they exist. So the scene then shifts to Trish. She's tap, tap, tapping away. And that's all we get for like the last two pages. A scene of Metropolis with the tap, tap, tap. Zooms in on her apartment building, tap, tap, tap. Further onto her apartment, tap, tap, tap. Onto a close-up of her herself, tap, tap, tap. And we see on a pad next to her laptop, the secrets of Lois Lane with a few things crossed out. So Secrets Within Secrets is next. I enjoy this issue, but again, I could see why some people wouldn't necessarily enjoy it, just because, as I mentioned, it very much focuses on not Superman, right? Like, we get a lot of time with this villainous organization, which doesn't have a name, of which all we know is Red Cloud and Mr. Strong. We get a lot of, I would say, even more Clark Kent in this issue than we do of Superman. The Superman scene we got early on was enjoyable, and it was a lot of fun with the crooks, I guess you'd say. They're not really villains, but with the crooks kind of bantering back and forth. So enjoyed that, but it's very much a setup of kind of the other half, right? The Superman issue of Superman 1 was a lot of Superman, whereas this is kind of the other half. So it's interesting that Bendis is going to kind of divide them, or if this is how he is going to divide them up. And then you wonder where everything fits, right? Because we saw in Superman 1, the Earth in the Phantom Zone. So is this happening after that or before that? Like, what exactly? I don't know. I mean, it's the same writer writing both titles, but he's telling two different stories. Like, wouldn't he want to just tell, I mean, it's Superman, right? So why not just tell one narrative and we get part of the story every other week? I don't know. It's interesting, right? And is it every other week? Because if they're coming out bi-weekly, then we are getting them once a week, right? Get an issue of Superman, then an issue in Action Comics, then an issue of Superman, an issue of Action Comics, because they're coming out every other week. But I think maybe they've gone monthly, but I'm not 100% on that. I'll have to check that out. But I did enjoy this issue more than the Superman number one issue. Partly because what I was talking about with the Superman issue, one of the things I didn't like is I still am trying to get a handle on who Superman is to Brian Michael Bendis. And maybe because we got so much of his supporting cast here and kind of the setting, I'm getting more of a feel of what the Superman world is to Bendis. I still feel like, you know, because Superman wasn't in this issue a lot, we still don't know who Superman is to Bendis. And again, it may be just, you know, based on his decompressed style of storytelling, it's going to be a little while before we have a good understanding of who Superman is to Brian Michael Bendis. But I'm ready to find that out, right? Like, I mean, we have the 6-issue Man of Steel series. And if you go back and listen to our Superman Sunday episodes about that, you'll know that I've been talking about this the whole time. I'm ready to find out who is Superman under Brian Michael Bendis. I just don't know that we know. And until we know, until it's further down the line, it may be hard to, at least for me, to judge. And again, I go back to just how good Superman was with Peter J. Tomasi and Patrick Gleason, and how great Action Comics was recently with Dan Jurgens. I'm all for new voices and bringing new people on and fresh blood and all that. But I don't know. For me, the jury's still out. I'm still reading. Superman is still my favorite character. But I'm ready for a little more. And I just don't know that we're going to get it in a timely manner. I would think that we won't. It's going to be, you know, kind of a slow burn because, again, that's just the way Bendis works, right? So maybe we may have to wait till like a year in, which to me is just insane to think about. But I guess we'll wait and see. So let me take a quick look here and see if I can find out. So Action Comics just came out on the 18th, I believe. So I'm just taking a quick look here. So we just had the 25th where we didn't have a book, a Superman title at all. And we've got, and on the 1st we don't have it either. So it does look like Action Comics and Superman have both gone to a monthly release schedule. So yeah, we're only going to get, yeah, actually I take that back. So Action Comics came out on the 25th, but just came out this last Wednesday, which means we probably won't see, if they are on a monthly schedule, we're not going to see Superman number 2 until the second week, probably the 8th of August. And let me just verify that here. Superman number 2, 2018. Yeah. So they are in fact on a monthly schedule. So again, it's not surprising given Bendis's tendency to work slower. And it does mean we'll get the same artist on each issue if it's only monthly. But again, you kind of wonder, so why, especially if it's monthly, why isn't it, doesn't the story continue? Like, you know, part one of a story is in Superman, part two of that same story is in Action Comics, part three back to Superman, part four Action Comics, rather than telling two different stories with the same characters. But again, I guess maybe Superman will be the more Superman-focused title, and Action Comics will be more the Daily Planet. I mean, Bendis has gone on record as saying he does want to explore that aspect of it. So, again, that just means it's going to take even longer for us to get really get a handle on who Superman is to Bendis, which I just keep going back to the fact that, man, we had the whole six-issue Man of Steel series, miniseries, and now we've had his first issue of Superman and his first issue of Action Comics, and I still feel like I don't have a good understanding of who Superman is to Bendis. At least not, I mean, I've heard him in plenty of interviews say who Superman is to him, and that's fine. I just haven't seen, I mean, I don't put that much stock in that, as much stock in that as what I see come across the comic book page. And that's just my own personal thing, because it's easy to give lip service. Oh, I think he's this, I think he's that. Sometimes that doesn't bear out in the stories if the stories aren't told well and things like that. So, I mean, I am enjoying what he's doing so far, but I'd be lying if I said I was enjoying it as much as what Tomasi, Gleason, and Juergens were doing. So that ship has sailed, and I'm not one of those people that's going to be like, I'm not going to stop buying Superman because I am still enjoying it. But I'm not going to rail that Bendis needs to come off the books or anything like that. Cause there's plenty, I mean, if it comes to the point where I'm not necessarily enjoying Bendis's Superman, I may drop it. I mean, there's been times in the past where I've dropped Superman as much as he's my favorite character. Cause there's plenty of Superman to read, you know, all those previous stories, that Triangle Era, the whole thing still exists. And I keep threatening to go back and reread that Triangle Era. So, there's always that to be done as well. So anyway, we will continue with the Superman Sunday titles or episodes rather for a while. I have no plans to discontinue them based on the fact that we are only getting two Superman titles per week. I may supplement with the Supergirl title, which I'm very excited about. And I did speak with Mark Andreyko real briefly about it at San Diego Comic-Con. He's very excited as well. So really looking forward to that. Also, we have the Super Sons title coming back from Gleason and Tomasi. So excited there. Plus, as I said, being able to reread those Triangle Era issues and talk about them would be a whole lot of fun too. So don't worry, Superman Sunday episodes aren't going anywhere anytime soon. And there's plenty of Superman to talk about. So it may come to the point where I'm not even talking about the new Bendis stuff because I'm talking every week about the latest Triangle issue that I read. So anyway, I want to thank everyone for joining as always. Please tell your friends about us, subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, please check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. Next show I'm going to be at is Comic-Con Palm Springs coming up August 25th and 26th. I think the show actually starts on the 24th, but I'm not sure. The only day I'm for sure going to be there is Saturday. So if you're going to be there, let me know. I'll hook you up with a free Comic Source lanyard. Find out what you like about the show, maybe even what you don't like. So once again, I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.